Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour. Tiki and Tierney coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage transition. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 206 around the country every single day. Monday through Friday, 3 hours a pop. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. Some of our boys aren't exactly accurate off the tee today. Phil's having a rough day, I notice, right? Phil's a little
Phil just
over
rinsed
the map.
One. Tiger's kind of he's scrambling right now, Tiger. He's hanging in there, though.
All right.
I did have the leaderboard up, but I just took it down.
So at minus 7 was the last I saw. Rory's up there. Dustin Johnson's playing pretty well. Have a nice leaderboard this weekend. The WGC.
Yep, Rory's 7 under. Dustin Johnson's 5 under. Sergio Garcia.
Sergio
at 5 under.
Serge,
the top three right
okay.
now.
Okay, I've grown to like Sergio.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I've grown to like Sergio. I like his competitive spirit.
Yeah, early a lot. Maybe it was because he was. I don't know. He was odd early in his career.
He was petulant on the golf course.
Yeah,
he had to learn how to.
It's a good way to put it.
And by the way, when he came up, he was. Remember when he skipped at Valhalla? He hit that shot by the trees, and he skipped up the fairway to see if it made it up.
Yeah.
He was like 19 or 18 or 19. I think he was 19. And, you know, at that point, golf was still transitioning from the old stuffy, let's not celebrate, let's not show any emotion, you know, very country club, very snobby, you know. And, you know, he put himself in a bad spot with a lot of people
that.
Who had been around a long time. So. But, yeah, that'll be fun this weekend. And, obviously, the Steelers. I'd say every day there's something with the Steelers. Let's get into this, obviously, with Le'Veon Bell. You know, reportedly gaining 50 pounds? I mean, I did see him on social media the other day. I do, too, but and I want you to take the reins and just take us to home here. But I saw him on social media the other day, and I did say to you off the air, I said,
yeah, he looks,
man, he looks thick.
Yeah, he did.
I did say that. But now, is it possible? If so, can he shed it? Would you be worried if you're a team with a lot of money
no,
in terms of signing
no,
him?
No, I wouldn't, because if you're signing Le'Veon Bell, you're signing him for 3 years. Like, your contract, 2 or 3 years. You're not looking to have Le'Veon Bell for the next, you know, 7 years. And
yeah, but you don't want the first year to be wasted because he's woefully out of shape.
But if
that's the case, I don't know.
Look, guys like Le'Veon who go a season, whether it's because of injury or – I can't even say this case because this is so rare. Like, you never see this. You never see a guy hold out and sit out an entire season because of a contract dispute. You see him sit out a couple of games, but eventually they get back in camp before week 8 when they know that their contract or they can get a vested year in their contract. That's the other side of this that Le'Veon missed out on. He loses a vested year, which is a big deal down the line for him. But these guys stay in shape because they never know, right? You never know at some point whether that trade was going to happen or you're going to make a decision to come back. So for at least until, say, mid-October or early November, he was in great shape.
Unless he knew he wasn't playing a snap no matter what.
Yeah, but
it seems like he may have known that. Just the way it all went down.
Yeah, but that would have been imprudent, right? Because what happens if the Steelers do say, all right, we're going to trade you? And then you got to go someplace else.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean.
That's
and,
true.
And now you're still playing
that's
for
true.
A contract.
Yeah,
you don't have a contract, right?
Yeah.
So mid November, he's in good shape. Mm-hmm. So how in 3 months is he gained 50? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't
unless
know.
He truly just let it go.
I think Mike said it's closer to 35.
35,
right? Mike,
whatever.
Still
35.
You know, it's not a left tackle.
No,
not a thick linebacker. It's a running back whose game is built on shiftiness. So
agreed.
I can see why people will be a little bit alarmed if it's true.
If there's one thing that, you know, I've found over the years with the athletes, like the ones that keep themselves in great shape, it's a lot because they want to be ready for their season, but it's also because of vanity, right?
Sure.
They just want to look good.
Oh, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell doesn't have that kind of vanity, you know what I mean? But I doubt that he gained 35 pounds. Maybe he gained 10, and because of his body structure, it just looks like he gained a lot of weight. Because you saw it when we saw that picture. We were like, man, he put on a couple of lbs. But 35 is a lot. And if he did, shame on him. But I don't think that he actually put on that much weight.
Okay.
The other thing with the Steelers now, Kevin Colbert, their GM, emphatically endorsing Ben Roethlisberger's style of leadership, which you and I have taken a little more than slight issue with on several occasions this past year, whether it's finger-pointing, whether it's saying things on the radio in his weekly spot with our sister station out there in Pittsburgh. You know, I'm a little surprised that Kevin would say this, but I think, I don't know, why would he say this?
I don't know. I'm sure he was asked the question because it was one of the storylines early throughout this season. The Pittsburgh Steelers, as we all know, they were 7-2-1, and all of a sudden they're out of the postseason. And it's like, how the hell does that happen in a division that had a underperforming Baltimore Ravens team for the majority of the year till Lamar Jackson took over, a Cleveland Browns team that was just, you know, trying to figure it out, and a Cincinnati Bengals team that was, I don't know, they were in la-la land for a lot of the season. How in the hell are you not making the postseason? And you started to – so it makes you start digging. Like, all right, what's actually going on here? Well, obviously you miss Le'Veon Bell. James Conner was good, but he's not Le'Veon Bell. Juju Smith-Schuster's turning into a star. Antonio Brown, as much as you call him a malcontent or whatever, he still had 15 touchdown catches and 1,300 yards. But so it's got to be something else. Well, the defense took a little bit of a hit. What's this thing Ben Roethlisberger's saying? What's this about James Washington shouldn't have dove for a catch? And that's a harsh criticism for a rookie and a – you know, critical. What is this? Then he comes out and says, I can criticize whoever I want, whenever I want. And
he's feeling himself out there.
He's feeling himself. And you wonder if guys take it the wrong way. And so it becomes a narrative of this Pittsburgh Steelers season, whether it was impactful on their bottom line or not. And Kevin Colbert, who is their general manager, kind of has to answer the question. I just find it interesting that he's stating the obvious, that Big Ben is the unquestioned leader. That's obvious, right? But I find it that he can say, I endorse him criticizing these guys.
Yeah, that's the part that scratched my head at as well a little bit.
I mean, sometimes that works, but it always works if you do it privately. It doesn't always work when you do it publicly.
Especially now. I mean, think about this. You know, it's very rare for an athlete. Now, you'll get some Twitter shade for sure. You get some Twitter beefs, but you know, you don't hear athletes too often, you know, look into a microphone or on the other end of a phone on a call-in for a weekly radio spot like he's got 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And they actually, you know, truly chastise a teammate for being in the wrong spot, for not being motivated, for not being ready, for not playing, whether it's football or basketball. You just don't seem to hear that much anymore.
No, you don't. And it was two instances. One, the James Washington play that we were talking about. And it ended up, I don't remember if it ended up costing him the game or not. I know it was a critical moment in the game. And then another one was Antonio Brown. He criticized for not running a flat enough dart route, you know, come out of the backfield. And
that's the one where he said he wished he would have thrown it to Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, he said, I should have thrown it to Juju Smith because of the way the angle made it defensible for his coverage player. If he had run flatter, he's running away from the defender, and then the defender can't defend the throw. Obviously, it was an incomplete pass, and it was an important one. And again, those things are great. Tell him privately.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because most people won't know. I mean, maybe as someone who's really analyzing the game and knows it, you know, the ins and outs of specific plays and knows what AB is supposed to do, we'll say, yeah, well, AB should have run this flatter. We'll pick that up. But now you start pointing fingers at AB in the press, it kind of rubs AB the wrong way. And it may be an indicator of why they got into a fight a couple weeks later, whenever it happened to be.
I still find it amazing that one football team in what's probably going to equate to a span of, you know, two more, obviously Brown, Bell is already, you know, free to go, so he's gone. And once they consummate a trade for Antonio Brown, he'll be gone as well.
Yep.
And the new year begins March 13th when it opens up for business. So that's roughly a month or so away, a little less. I would imagine somebody's going to strike a deal pretty quickly. I guess for Brown, I don't know what the parameters will be, but the bottom line is they'll both be gone within 5 weeks, 6 weeks. And think about what they're jettisoning.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably the best receiver in football and arguably the best all-around running back in football. And if Big Ben falters, in September. And, you know, at his age and his body type, you never know when that cliff's coming. I don't think it's there yet.
No, I don't think so.
But there was a discernible drop-off in his production. Threw a lot of picks this year, missed some throws. Forget about the leadership style. He missed some throws this year.
Yeah, of course.
And if
the Jacksonville game was ugly.
That was a horrible game. And if he continues to miss throws and they continue to lose games, his Q rating is going to really, really plummet.
Yeah. And here's the Sam just reminded me of the
in his own hometown, I mean.
I agree.
Not just nationally. I mean, in Pittsburgh.
Well, gander this, right? So that game that we were talking about with James Washington, they were 7-2-1.
Yep.
They were playing Denver. 17-17 was the score in the fourth quarter, I believe it was. He dove for that pass. They end up losing the game, 24-17.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I remember that.
Right it was because they should have won. Right, it was odd. They should have won that game. They lost 4 out of 5 from that point on. 4 out of 5. Right after he said these comments that, you know, I can criticize these guys whenever I want. It's interesting. It may be a complete coincidence, BT. It may be.
How many were they favored in? I want to pull up their schedule.
It's a good question, but it may be coincidence. But I mean, I've over the years I've grown to not believe in coincidence.
Yeah.
There's always something to it, even if it's minor. There's something to it.
Yeah.
But they went on a slide after that, and it ultimately pushed them out of the postseason.
So they lost to Denver. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's as Tiki said, they were 7-2-1, and you know they were favored that game. So that they lost a game, they were favored there. The next game after that, December 2nd. They lost at home to the Chargers. That was a great game, 33-30. That was a hell of a game.
A game that they had in hand.
Yeah,
right?
True.
And the Chargers were resilient. I think I forget the circumstances, but the Chargers came back and won that game.
Yeah, and I would imagine the Steelers, if I had to take a guess, 2.5-3 point favorites. They weren't underdogs at home, even though the Chargers are good. Then they somehow lost to the Raiders. That was like, wow, they had to be at least 6 or 7 point favorites there. That was in Oakland, but still. Then they beat the Pats, which is weird. It's odd that you would regenerate and find yourself against the Pats after you lose to the Raiders and the Broncos. And then they lost to the Saints. That was at New Orleans. They had to be dogs there.
Yep.
And then they beat the Bengals at home. So of those four games, they were probably three of the four favored.
Yeah.
That they lost there. And probably underdogs at the Pats as well. No, they were home to the Pats. And they won that. That's either a pick 'em or a point and a half in their direction, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I would be so – I'd be so confused if I'm a Steeler fan right now.
Me too.
I'm not even sure the word is angered. I would be perplexed
as to
where my talent is going.
Well, are they better without AB? I'm going to argue no.
I'm going to argue no as well.
Are they better without Le'Veon? I'm going to argue no.
They were early in the season, but then we saw that Connor doesn't always hold on to the ball.
You're right. He got injured and became unavailable. Are the guys that are there – did they replace them? Does James Washington? I mean, Juju Smith was who Juju Smith was.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
on his way to becoming a star.
Helped me win my fantasy league too.
I know,
Juju put some money in my pocket.
Does James Washington supplant in any way close to the production of AB?
He's not. He's a different kind of receiver.
Exactly.
Totally different.
So the answer is no. I mean, does James Conner come anywhere close to being what Le'Veon Bell was? 90 catches. You know. 1,400 yards rushing.
He doesn't have the ability to take
touchdowns.
It home. Like he did just that, you know, that gash, that 70-yard pop. I don't see that. And I like Connor. Connor's good. Connor's good.
And Sam just said he's cheaper. Yeah, but is cheaper better when your window for winning a championship is 2 years?
Not when your quarterback's 37 and time's ticking.
Exactly.
And I'm with you. And time's ticking on your coach as well.
I agree.
Officially, you know, we both like Tomlin. Tomlin officially has to be on the clock, don't you think?
He definitely is.
He has to be.
I don't think anything's going to happen, but...
If he has a rough 2019...
This is a season to watch for the Steelers.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think it might be a season of action if things go really awry. I know that they're really conservative in how they hire and fire, and I don't think that Mike should be... some people actually think Mike should be fired now.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's fair,
but
watch is on for me. I'm a little bit more aggressive with that than you. There's been too many... personality meltdowns and too much underachievement and too many penalties and too much sloppiness for me to give him a pass. He's been there a long time. He's got to tighten it up or Steelers have a tough decision. We'll see.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, it looks like Bryce Harper and others have tough decisions and hopefully we'll get answers soon. So we have John Smoltz coming on the show. Hall of Famer, we love Smoltzy. Joins us from time to time. Get his thoughts on Manny Machado. Get his thoughts on some early spring happenings and, of course, the remaining free agents. Where are they going? That's next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
The worst part about doing your taxes is, well, quite frankly, doing your taxes. The best part, planning what to do with your refund. Whether it's a big fat check or a pocket full of change, make your tax refund go farther at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Do you need new wipers? A new battery? Maybe your tires are showing some signs of wear and tear. How about your brakes? Do you need new filters? Are your fluids full? Think about all the things you've been waiting to fix. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little bit of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. From accessories, belts, fluids and hoses to batteries, tires, lighting, and much, much more. You'll even find parts for your lawn and garden equipment. Spring is just around the corner. Get more out of your tax refund by checking O'ReillyAuto.com online for special deals as well. Save money on projects you've been putting off at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney back. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Before you know it, the crack of the bat for real. Baseball is slowly returning, which is awesome. As the winter begins to thaw, get those rotator cuffs loose, work out those hammies and quads, get in the cage, get a little work, and before you know it, we start playing baseball. And we're joined now by John Smoltz, of course, the great Hall of Famer, the great Brave, and Fox Sports lead MLB analyst. And Smoltz's back on the show. John, how you been, bud? What's happening?
I've been great. I'm living the dream here in the next give or take 10 days.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I always love the early part of spring, you know, the young prospects. I know not everybody gets wrapped up into that. You got to be a real devout baseball fan to follow the prospects. But it's just it's an energetic time of the year. Everybody's got a sense of worth and a sense of purpose, and everybody's got a chance, at least on paper. And now, as we know, the Padres have more of a chance than they've had in a long time. They've been bad, man. I mean, listen, we know Machado got paid. I'm happy for Manny. If that's his decision, great. But do you think within the next 2 years, I want to hear you say it, I think I know the answer, in the next 2 or 3 years that the Padres can go, oh, that's where Manny got paid to, wow, Padres got a lot of talent. They got a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Can they make that transition?
Yeah, I think they can. Baseball to me needs the Padres to be relevant. I've always said it. I think San Diego is such a great place, not only to play, obviously for players, they enjoy every aspect of it, but to be relevant again, because you mentioned they haven't been in a while. They started the process by last year's free agent signing and the talent pool that they have acquired, and it comes a point where you're ready to pour in, and it looks like they're ready to pour in, literally put in some chips to not look like it's 3 years away. It's a year away. And the way baseball has been played over the last 3 or 4 years, when you put the right pieces together, you can start climbing that ladder of success. You know, the Braves weren't supposed to win the division last year. No one in the world thought they had a chance. They won a division. And then they saw the roster, came up against the Dodgers, and there was a difference. And I think when you start measuring yourself in your league against the better teams and you start thinking, how do we beat the Dodgers? You know, how do we climb and beat the Rockies? I think the Padres are getting closer to that being part of the conversation.
Okay.
You know, I'm here in Arizona, nice. And the weather hasn't been great, but I'm here getting ready to cover their camp for MLB Network on Sunday, and I'm quite sure – the vibe is going to be as excited as they are, as excited as I am once I'm done with their camp, because I'm going to go compete in the Champions Tour in Tucson right down the road. So I literally am glad that the news came down. We can cover the news. We can move on, and then I can get ready selfishly to compete in the Kohler Guard Classic, which I am thrilled to be part of as a sponsor exemption.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. Since you went there, I'll take you there real quickly, John, because it's amazing. This is obviously the Kohler Guard Classic. The purpose is to raise awareness and highlight the importance of colorectal cancer screening. And here's the thing. This is amazing. On the 16th hole throughout the entire competition, if there is a hole in one, then Exact Sciences, the makers of Color Guard, will make a donation totaling $500,000. This is pretty awesome. You know, obviously, you want to play great and shoot in the 70s and maybe win or do something like that. But this is a deeper meaning to this tournament.
It is, and you know their whole emphasis on the tournament, as well as displaying the world's best players over 50 years old, you know, is early detection, because it's 90% success rate if you're able to get early detection. And as men, I hate to say it, not universally, but we'll kind of get into it, right? We'll get to it. I'll get to it. And the earlier you get to it, the early detection, the success rate's through the roof. And I can promise you this: if I happen to get a hole in one and get lucky enough to get a hole in one, not only is that going to happen that you mentioned, I'm jumping in the lake.
Attaboy, Smoltzy.
I promise you, an 18, I'm jumping in the lake. So you heard it here first. Something happens. If I shoot an 80 and still get a hole in one, I'm jumping in the lake.
Phenomenal.
Get a hole in one, I'm jumping in the lake.
We're going to hold you to it, and although I don't think we'll have to. It sounds like you committed to it. John Smoltz with us, Hall of Famer, lead analyst of MLB, MLB lead analyst for Fox. All right, Smoltz, let me throw this by you. I know the White Sox seemingly had a lot of money that they were willing to spend, and Manny didn't take it. I don't know if Bryce Harper's going to take it, although we certainly want to get your thoughts on Bryce specifically. If I'm the White Sox, I know they got a couple of good young prospects. Abreu's getting up there in age, but he's a good RBI man, good middle-of-the-order guy, DH. Why would you not take the $300 million that you had allocated in theory for either Machado or Harper and sign Keuchel, Kimbrel, Adam Jones, and Marwin Gonzalez? And see, the division's not good except the Indians. All the other teams are pretty bad and a pretty far distance from competing. I mean, maybe the White Sox can steal something here. I know it sounds wacky, but why not try something like that?
No, it doesn't sound wacky at all. I think what you're seeing teams is trying to position themselves in a way where once the next chip falls, and that's going to be Harper, wherever he goes, I think you start seeing teams slot their money allocated differently in different ways. And I think the Chicago White Sox are closer than people think, by the way. They're not that far away. I said last year, with the anticipation of what I thought they would do this year, that they would be a playoff team. And that's a big stretch when somebody says that, because you're looking at a team that didn't win a lot of games, but you're looking at a wide-open division for the most part, because the Indians last year were in position to make a run. You didn't know if they would be able to hold on and keep that going moving forward with some of the contracts they have and the situations, Andrew Miller not being there and so on and so forth. So I think that the White Sox decision and brass making this decision has to waver or basically say, okay, when do we pour in? When do we exhaust our resources and make some signs that are going to be significant to take us to possibly win in the division?
Yeah.
Because it's safe to say in that division, there's not going to be a wild card that comes from there. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just based on the way the teams, I could be wrong.
No, I totally agree. You're right.
At the Oakland A's.
You're right.
And so I think that the American League has become the big three, with the fourth team being the Indians. The big three being the Houston Astros, of course, the Boston Red Sox, and the New York Yankees are head and shoulders above the rest. The competitive balance in the American League may not be up anywhere close to where the National League is. So you have teams that could decide to go, this is our chance. And not only is this our chance, we can take hold of this division for years to come if we make the right moves and they pan out. So I don't think that's a far-fetched idea at all if management decides that that's the value in which they're going to allocate their resources.
Okay. You know, John, we speculated yesterday that the Phillies likely have the best shot of signing Bryce Harper. Where do you think he ends up? And is there any lasting damage because it took so long?
No, I don't think there's any lasting damage, especially for position players. They can sustain a slower start to spring training. But, I mean, that's what messes with your mind as an athlete. The timing of certain, you know, some players are going to be affected a little more adversely the longer this thing goes and the less time they have to get ready, because we're all conditioned to do things in a certain way. More players are better athletes than ever before, and they're in better shape. So it's not a question of getting back in shape. It's the game action that you like to have and the reps that you'd like to have moving into a long season. But, all things point towards the Phillies, but that doesn't mean much. Like, I don't think a lot of people predicted in the beginning that San Diego Padres would be in the mix for Machado either. So There's always seems to be the team either laying in the weeds, waiting to make the details work out. The problem that, you know, most people from afar have an issue with is they don't know what's been turned down or offered, right? You kind of we're subject to kind of rumors, and this is where it may be, but you don't really know, is it between an 8, a 7-year, a 10-year? Is it between this amount and that amount? Does he want to go here or there? So the process has always taken it in the past where an outlier, a few different owners would go above and beyond what was reported and make that deal. Well, doesn't seem to be the case as much where information universally throughout the teams, they're all kind of have the same resources. So they all have the same technology and numbers and whatever they use to evaluate what the season and a player is worth. So it does look like I always said that Harper would be in the NL East. Hmm. But I also thought that he would stay with the Washington Nationals. So having said that, I don't know if, you know, how it's going to end up.
Yeah. Gotcha. As John Smoltz, of course, a Hall of Famer, Fox Sports lead MLB analyst, he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, Smoltz, I want to throw this by. You played for Bobby Cox, and old school guy, you know, let you be you, let the team find its own personality. He wasn't, you know, wasn't stifling. He went with his gut a lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously a very different generation. And I say this because I thought Jeff Samardzija had some really interesting comments about Bruce Bochy, who's going to retire, as you know, at the end of the season with 3 World Series championships and another appearance with the Padres. I think he's a Hall of Famer, and most people around baseball tend to agree. But Samardzija's point was that the managers now, you know, there's just the real absence of gut and instinct, and that they're, in essence, a liaison to the front office, and in essence, puppets. I mean, I thought he painted a very interesting picture that is kind of hard to refute, even if you are married to numbers, as you almost have to be at this point in time. Where do you stand on what Jeff said, and where do you stand at where the major league manager right now, how important, how influential is he really?
Yeah, it's a great question, and certainly a lot of clubs are going in a direction to seem more copycat-like, you know, where the channel information that comes from top gets filtered down below, the decisions get made, and I'm sure they're using an array of information, not just – but if you're just in one bucket, I think if you don't have balance, then I think you're putting yourself and organization at a disadvantage to be successful long-term. If you're just trying to fragment a season and get by and kind of show a competitive ability to compete in 1 year, yeah, then you can do that. The sustainability of it, and more importantly, kind of what I think, you know, Jeff Samardzija was talking about, is that, yeah, it's a dying breed now in the terms of managers who stick with a team and there for a long tenure, but there is something you still cannot show in a number. You can't show me a guy's heart, and you can't show me his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can show me every statistical algorithm there is, but the teams that literally have won the last 5 to 10 championships, just look at their formula. That'll tell you what and why they won, because they weren't all stuck in one area. They used a blend.
Yep.
They used their eyes. They used their analytics. They used a nice blend of veteran players who were able to impact and infiltrate the team and their philosophy. So the manager has to know a lot of things that go on day to day in a relationship with his players may have changed over time. In other words, in the days that I was with Bobby, it was more, you know, face-to-face, conversational. You knew what you were going to get. Now there's technology that you can text information, you can get information, you can communicate information without being face-to-face. And I think there's different ways to do it. So I don't believe we'll never see it again. I think that's what people might be seeing, that this is never going to happen again. I think baseball and sports in general cyclical in the fact that it always finds ways to never stay the same, you know, self-correct or zig when everyone else is zagging. I really still believe that to be true.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
The 2019 Color Guard Classic is in Tucson, Arizona, March 1st to 3rd. You can find out information at Color Guard, at C-O-L-O, guardclassic.com to purchase tickets and learn more about the 16th hole that everybody will be watching. We heard you had about 7 or 8 hole-in-ones, so go knock it in, John. I appreciate you. Good
Hit
luck.
Hit him straight, brother. Hit him straight, Smoltzy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you. Got it, man. Always a pleasure. John Smoltz. I believe we have next week, too, right, Mike? We got him booked in booked next week as well. So next week, we'll have some Harper resolution, the other guys, and you know, today, just kind of get a sense of the early spring. And then when we have John on late next week, maybe get into some of the early themes. You know, with baseball could be an injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Bryce Harper, he's got to be signed by next week.
When games start? When?
I believe they start with, some teams play this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I know the Red Sox play, is it Northeastern University? Some of the schools, they used to play Boston College. Some of the teams will break in.
Mariners A's tonight.
Is it tonight? Okay. Wow. Well, they're going to Japan earlier.
Oh, that's right. They need to start the season in Japan.
So, and Ichiro's playing in that series. People forget about that. He's on the active roster. Yep. He's playing in Japan.
That's cool.
Regular, yeah.
Phillies Astros tomorrow.
Phillies Rays tomorrow.
I'm not even running down the schedule here. I don't even care about the teams. It's just the fact that they're starting spring training.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah.
Not like working out. Games.
Games.
And Bryce is nowhere to be found.
You'll see a lot of number 97s and number 76s. So baseball's back somewhat. Still a couple of weeks away from the guys who will probably break camp and make the team really being on display. But it is back. So if you love it, which we do, you get a little sample, no doubt. Let's get the update from Jay Bourbon. We've got the blast coming up after that. Jay's turn right now. Here's Jay. All righty. Tinky and Tierney back here on a Thursday. Getting ready for a little Kinky Boots. Starring this guy. Going over with the wife and three of her friends. They're all wearing red boots. So, you got a good night in front of us. Hey, by the way, join CBS on the road to the Final Four. It's almost that time with great NCAA hoops this weekend. Saturday at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, Auburn takes on Kentucky in Lexington, 4th-rated Cats, followed by number 16 Florida State against 8th-rated North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Then on Sunday, Villanova, Jay Wright, the defending champs, tip off against Xavier. That's 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific. And the weekend wraps up when 7th-rated Michigan hosts number 10 Michigan State. That is always fun. Of course, the madness is in the air, getting ready for it all. I always kind of go back and forth on this. And I think I might say the same thing in October. So if you hear this in October, give me a pass. But I think I really mean this now. This is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah.
There's nothing like this.
Because of the golf.
Everything.
It's just
everything. The conference tournaments,
yep,
leading
basketball
into Selection Sunday, leading into March Madness, leading into the Masters,
post-all-star
leading into my
break.
Fantasy baseball draft. You know.
Why is October better, Samter?
You got football in full swing. You got the baseball playoffs. You got college basketball. You got hockey starting up. You got
October.
The NBA starting up. What? You got everything. October is the best month of the year.
October is college basketball beginning?
Who'd you watch in early October play college basketball?
No, it's like the startup of the season.
So you watch
everything starting to get riled up. In the NBA, you got training camp is starting to come up in November a little bit.
Good effort. Good
October's
try.
The best time of the year.
I think you added college basketball.
He did. He did.
Now he's going to go search.
What's going on, D-Cell? What's up, buddy?
Nothing much.
You all right?
Yeah, why?
Quiet.
Just asking.
D-Cell usually contributes quietly to the show.
Been very quiet lately,
quiet
D-Cell.
Today. It's all good.
And very quiet.
No more than usual.
A little more than usual. Which is saying something with you. Because you're really quiet.
Yeah, I'll be more vocal.
Appreciate
it. It's kind of what we want. You ready for the blast, Teak?
Yep, let's get to it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes. But don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, despite Earl Thomas's desire to play for the Cowboys, they're only bargain shoppers for the former Seattle Seahawks safety. Can Earl Thomas still be a Pro Bowl caliber player at this point?
It's a hard maybe. He's going to be 30 next season. I'm going to say yeah. He can be a Pro Bowl player. Those all pros that he was making were back in the height, the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl era. Pro Bowl, I'm going to say yeah. But it's getting to be a little bit of a stretch, especially coming off an injury.
I agree. You know, as Teak said, he's still 29. He'll be 30 when they start next season. And, you know, I think he's going to be on the right team. And, by the way, that right team might be Dallas with that pass rush, provided they retain DeMarcus Lawrence and some other guys that are free.
That's a big free agent they got to hang on to.
There's no way they're letting him bolt.
No,
he's terrific.
Franchise him, if anything else.
Probably, right? Yeah. They have those young linebackers that are obviously really good, both of them. So I think if he went to Dallas, he's in the right scheme. I believe his mind is fertile enough and sharp enough to maybe offset any tenth of a second he might lose in the 40. I think Earl Thomas can still play.
It's going to be about money.
Yeah, always about the money.
Always.
Case Keenum.
Case.
Somebody gave him money to actually play football. Case Keenum says, well, that somebody was John Elway. Case said he was shocked and disappointed by the Joe Flacco trade. Can we see Keenum starting in 2019? And if so, for whom? I mean, a kid around that John Elway gave him money. Listen, John Elway was desperate a year ago. Case Keenum played pretty well for the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to beg on somebody who, you know, isn't blessed with his great physical stature, doesn't have a rocket for an arm. He's not 6'5". He's not 230. He's a grinder. He's smart.
He's 6'1".
He was a great college player, ripped apart, obliterated the NCAA record book at Houston.
True.
I got respect. I got love for Case Keenum. And you know what? If Case Keenum was on the Jaguars last year, bet you the Jaguars would have been pretty good.
I agree.
Instead of Blake Bortles.
Shocked and disappointed? Come on, Case.
that might be a stretch.
You're 20-15 touchdown interception ratio. You're 5.5 points below the average for yards per attempt. And you threw for under 4,000 yards in a pass-happy league. You were very average. You had to expect they were going to bring in competition. Could he go somewhere and start? No. But could he be a good backup, an upgrade to Kirk maybe in Atlanta? I could see happening. But no, he's not.
He's better than Eli right now.
He's not starting anywhere.
He's better than Eli right now.
He's not starting for the New York Giants.
The Kings' Buddy Hield makes a brash prediction.
How confident are you that this team will make the playoffs?
Very confident. You know, I bet my house on it.
I mean, like that?
I mean, like, it's, I make a lot of money to buy the next one. So.
Buddy, why wasn't that funny? No! Buddy is such a cut-up. All right, number one, will they make the playoffs? And if so, is he going to actually pay up on the bet if they don't make the playoffs? Will he actually sacrifice his home?
You know, can I reserve judgment?
No.
Because they're on a four-game road trip right now, and it's a tough one.
Who are they playing on the four-game road?
They just lost to Denver.
Yep. Next three, what do they have?
By two.
Uh-huh.
Golden State.
Loss.
Oklahoma City.
Loss.
Minnesota.
Win.
Okay.
They'll be 1-3. I think the Kings actually have a pretty decent chance. I love the Kings.
The Clippers are going to fall out. And the Kings are next. So I think they're going to make the playoffs.
I think so too. And you know, listen, there's for certain teams there's not great value in being an 8 seed and getting railroaded by the top seed. You know, because you're probably going to get swept and just get, you know, embarrassed. But for the Sacramento Kings, who are 3 games above 500 right now, and average almost 115 points a game, which, by the way, is top 10 in the NBA.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of young players. That experience would serve them well. I'm rooting for Sacramento. Go get them.
Agreed.
Sacramento, where you at? All right, how about this? Indiana Hoosiers AD Fred Glass chastises his own fans for profane chants at Purdue's Matt Harms. Glass says, quote, "They were embarrassing. They were unacceptable. Knock off the chants. Do we have an issue with an inappropriate chant during college sporting events?"
Yeah, definitely.
We do?
Definitely. And here's why. I mean, you go to college basketball games all the time, but you're sitting down close and you're doing a game. You're not paying attention, maybe, to the stands. There's a lot of kids, you know, parents, alumni bring their kids back to these games.
That's true.
Less expensive than going to an NBA game.
It's far more intimate as well.
It's great access. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, think about Cameron. It's only 9,000 seats.
Well, especially if you went to school there. You might have a press pass. You get near the court, get a picture. It's a great time.
Kids got to knock this off. I get they're trying to be cool, but no, you can't cuss it in college games.
Oh, okay. Now, profane, does it have to be an expletive? Can it be something that's a little... I don't know. It doesn't have to, it has to revolve around sex, but sexually suggestive or something a little bit off color that's not like overtly like a curse word or I have no problem.
I mean,
with
if
that,
there's
man.
Double if entendre creative, and
yeah,
it's like creative,
double entendre. You're smart,
but
put
if
it
you're
to use.
If you're being right out and just saying whatever,
like bleep you or something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not down with that either. I hear you. And by the way, you know, Colton went to his first game. He was literally. This was the St. John's Providence game a couple of weeks back. He was right. Now, the Garden's different than a college environment. Yeah. I wouldn't want him hearing that stuff.
This was FU, by the way.
I mean, that's completely off color. That's ridiculous. FU is, not debatable. What are our thoughts on Tiger Woods' first round so far?
Tiger's one over
playing down
right
Mexico.
Now through 13.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting 35th.
Tiger.
I mean, he's below the cut line, actually. Is there even a cut in this one?
I think so.
Yeah, there should be
a cut. Well, it depends. Let me see how many players are in the actual
70?
Event.
No, there's more than
there
70.
There might not be a cut. No, there's yeah, there are. There's 70.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, either way, he came out and he had a double. He doubled one, so that was bad. So he was plus two, you know, 30 minutes into his round. And then, you know, he ripped off birdie, 4, 5, and 6. But then since then, he's been pars and two bogeys. A little uneven.
Yeah.
Listen, it could have gone really sideways after a double bogey. I'd say it's about a C-minus, C-plus for him. Not that good.
Yeah, he's getting a little
stomachy, you
notice, stomachy right now.
So vain.
Used to be.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
BT, when he was like vain as hell and trying to look like Heat-Man.
I got to get the wing loose. You know why?
Why?
Because if you mess up tonight, you know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to
throw a tomato at you on stage.
I'll catch it and eat it. Nice. Woo! You nailed that one.
Bang. That's it. Don't mess up. I'm going to hit you on stage.
I will
All
not.
Right.
Trust me.
I will not hit you.
Now I got to run up.
You're not going to give your partner a shout-out tonight?
No, I'm not.
Come
giving
up, why
you
not?
No. No calls, no texts, no photos of any kind.
Now, you start the show with the microphone, right? So
I
you
do.
Can very easily be like, this is my boy BT, Tiki and Tierney referee. I mean, why can't you do that? They wouldn't mind.
They would.
Just deviate from the script. Let me get a little acknowledgement. Everybody be like, who? Who's that?
What the hell are you talking
about?
The
Broadway about? Crowd. I mean, they listened to my rant on LeBron.
I mean,
sure they were engaged.
If you were king and won the Westminster Kennel Show Dog Championship, baby.
Doing well tonight, buddy. See you tomorrow.
Oh, I feel it. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.